Hey guys, my name's Jarek and I play a protection warrior on Earthen Ring. Welcome to the Lorecast, a podcast that talks about lore and roleplay in the world of Warcraft. Check us out at www.lorecast.org, as well as on Twitter at twitter.com/erlorecast and on Facebook at facebook.com/thelorecast. Thanks for listening and enjoy the following episode.
Oh, it's good to see you again. Pull up a chair by the hearth.
Hey, listeners, this is Kanta from the Lorecast, and we're here for another Flashcast episode. I believe we're on episode 8.
Yes.
So we got that going on. Awesome. So we're on episode 8. So again, my name is Canton. I'm joined by my awesome, always here, up in my butt, pain in the ass, co-host, Ari.
Is that me?
Yes, that's you.
I don't want to be up in your butt. I don't want to Lemmy Winks that one.
No. Absolutely not.
Not the RPG adventure I was looking for.
No, this is not South Park.
Yeah, and Warcraft, that's not an expansion idea, by the way. I don't want to crawl up Sargeras' colon.
No, please not. And like Ari said...
I am the co-host. I'm Ari.
Yes, she is. But like Ari said, we're not a South Park RPG. We actually do Warcraft lore. And we do a lot of cool stuff. I love the stuff we talk about. And if it's your first time listening today, I think you'll enjoy the continuation of the last episode that we did, which was talking about the story of Jaina Proudmoore.
Yes, so this is technically part two. In our previous podcast, we talked about her background, where she came from, her personality before a very major event, which was the destruction of Theramore, and also her relationships, both platonic as well as romantic.
Like Thrall.
What?
Huh?
And we're going to kind of just pick up where we left off with recent events, some speculation, as well as some controversy surrounding Jaina. She is such a big, recognizable character. Even if you haven't played World of Warcraft directly, if you played some Blizzard games, she's appeared in them.
Absolutely. But before we get into Jaina, we're going to talk about a few things. As you know, Legion came out last Tuesday, and Ari and myself have had a great time playing it so far.
We really have. It's been a lot of fun, nonstop. Both of us hit 110.
Yep.
On our mains. It's now time to start the alt grind.
Oh, yeah. Well, we got World Quest now.
We do. It's a little bit different this time. Every expansion Blizzard comes up with a different way for you to play endgame. So World Quest seem to be what's at. I haven't really gotten into them too heavily yet.
If you've ever played Diablo, it's a similar system to the bounty system. But once you get to a certain point where you can unlock the friendly reputations for all the factions, you get the option of World Quest open to you, up to you. And what that is in each zone, you have multiple world quests available to you, and each one will award either reputation, artifact power, items, and which will ultimately lead to a greater item by completing 4. So there's something to really fill up. They're essentially dailies, but they're, I'd say, a better version of dailies.
I'm really looking forward to checking them out then, because I'm a Holy Paladin. I have the Silver Hand artifact, and I need to get ready for raiding.
Oh, yeah.
So
you definitely
need to pump that thing full of artifact power really quick.
Yes. So I think another thing we were going to talk about today, Ari, is the two cinematics that we saw in Valshara and, what was it, Stormheim?
It was Stormheim.
Okay.
So we had two fantastic cinematics. I can't really... So one of them, you walked away with kind of feeling super pumped up and wanting to be a Gilnean. And then the other one, you just walked away with this punch to the gut.
Oh, yeah.
You were seeing a very important moment. I guess we can quickly go over it. We can't go about this podcast won't be long enough for us to really talk about what led to these cinematics. I highly recommend questing in both Stormheim and Valshara.
Yes.
But Stormheim, we get another confrontation between Ghen Greymane and Sylvanas. These two characters have been, I don't want to say feuding. That's not the right word for it.
They're rivals.
Yes.
Wouldn't they?
Their factions hate each other.
Oh, yeah. Hatred.
Yes, personally, they have so much hatred for each other. And Ghen Greymane got his licks into Sylvanas. He's had a long time, a long build-up to this. A couple things that Sylvanas has done. Attacked his home. It's kind of a major one, right?
Oh, yeah.
His son died.
Yes, the arrow that was intended for Ghen, his son took.
Yes, Liam died thanks to Sylvanas. And then more recently, Varian died. due to what Gen thinks Sylvanas once again. Now, again, the Horde didn't intend for Varian to directly die or intentionally abandon him personally.
Yeah.
But that is exactly what happened. Indirectly, Varian did eventually die as a result of the Horde having to leave. But I can't really blame the Horde. They had to go. More people were going to die.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Varian chose to stay behind.
One of the things we need in the Warcraft universe is conflict. And if we don't have that conflict, what is this game? So, I mean, Blizzard had to find a way, to basically create this conflict for Legion. So even though this world is on the brink of destruction, we have to have that faction hostility tossed right in there.
Exactly. And in this case with Sylvanas and Greymane, it was already there. Mm-hmm. This was just stirring the pot, adding a new ingredient, making it hot again. And in this cinematic, she is pretty much pressing the Valkyr into service. She needs more of them. Sylvanas does this not only to make her people survive and make more of her people, but she knows that once she dies, her soul is literally damned. She's going to go to hell. There's no salvation for her.
No, as we saw with Arcthas previously, and when Sylvanas was actually killed at one point, we saw that pretty much the undead only see darkness. Who even knows if they'll have a damnation or if they'll just be gone?
Just oblivion.
Lights
out. A void. Nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. She does not like this. She's literally trying to escape death.
Absolutely.
Even longer than she already has. So she's trying to press Gang the Valkyr into service, and Gen Greymane basically snatches that right away from her. And he has this wonderful moment when he basically said, "You took away my son's future, I took away yours."
Yeah.
As he pulls this poisoned arrow from his chest. For being 70-something, Gen Greymane is a vamp.
Not only did Gen take away Sylvanas' future, but her people.
Yes.
Now
wonder what the consequences will be.
Yeah, her people have no way to live on anymore. It's just what she has available for Valkyrie right now.
Which is, I think, a handful. We saw them in the cinematic.
Maybe three, maybe four.
Maybe three or four. Just a handful of them. Not enough to really ensure the survival of her people. So yeah, aside from the sort of one-on-one personal conflict that Sylvanas and Gen Greymane have, which is now super fun to watch, there is the greater conflict of what's going to become of the Forsaken.
Oh, yeah.
It's also going to become of the Horde. Sylvanas still seems super set on mission.
There was, to bring Reddit into the conversation briefly, there was a GIF that was posted up on the website of the WoW Reddit forum. And it was a GIF basically saying, as a Horde going to Stormheim. And it was like, are we the bad guys in this?
Yeah. It was kind of a change of pace, actually.
Yeah. It was interesting to see.
Have kind of been the Horde aggressors.
Yeah. And I'm really interested to see what it is from the Horde perspective for Stormheim. So definitely let us know about that, if anything. We've only had Alliance.
Very curious to know what Sylvanas was thinking. We only saw the end result of her showing up right there at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And really, that kind of ties up that cinematic. So that one, again, really kind of felt, if you ever felt pro-Gilnean or just kind of wanted to suck it to Sylvanas at some point, you kind of got that moment right there. She got a big taste of humble pie.
Oh, yeah. A big taste.
But speaking of
humble pie?
Well, I guess it's not even humble pie. It's more like
Is it just pie?
A punch to the gut. You can talk about the Vel Shiraa.
I like apple pie.
There's no apple pie.
I'd rather talk about pies, honestly. Can we make this the pie cast?
Can we have a pie cast?
Yeah.
Let's have a pie cast.
Okay.
Apple season's coming in.
Yeah. Oh, and pumpkin. Got to get your pumpkin iced coffee.
I'm going to make some pumpkin beer bread, by the way, this year.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay. By the way, it's September while we're recording. Can you tell? So, Candy, if you want to talk about the Vel Shiraa cinematic.
Oh, yeah. I definitely want to get into that. So, Vel Shiraa, the world tree of the Broken Isles, is essentially being corrupted by the Nightmare. Exavius, the Satyr Lord, who was basically Ashara's right-hand man, is now a full-time satyr. And we actually don't even see Exavius yet. We see a shade of him. We see a shade of the past that Exavius once was. So his corruption has actually become further along. And one of the things going into Vel Shiraa is you're starting to learn more and more about the corruption that's been taking over. And one of the first things you come across is Cenarius actually being corrupted. And that leads into a series of events where Exavius actually uses Sonari's corruption to kidnap Malfurion. And with that going along, Tyrande gets wrapped up into it, in which case she actually brings Ysera in. Ysera. Green Dragon. Jandarius is probably going to listen to this and be like, you're saying everything wrong again. Thanks, Jander.
No, you're doing pretty good. You're good. It's just Ysera. I don't know. What, it's like you drank a bunch of the game and suddenly you're slurring your words.
I'm just drinking seltzer, so I got this. But Ysera comes in. She tries to make a head dive at Xavius, and actually Xavius uses a corrupted tear of a loon to bring down Ysera into corruption, in which case we have to fight, defeat, and sadly kill off another aspect leader.
This is our second. No, this is our third.
Third, yeah.
That we have personally killed. We killed Malagos.
Malagos, Deathwing.
Killed Deathwing, and now Ysera.
Mm-hmm.
And Ysera, I just feel bad because Malagos kind of fell into madness. It was kind of a prolonged madness. It took quite some time for him to reach that moment. And Deathwing, it was a lot more his fault.
Yeah,
we took him down the first time.
Yes and no, depending on what perspective you take on it.
He was a good guy.
He was.
Originally. He actually was best friends with Malagos. He was one of the reasons why Malagos kind of went insane, because he totally betrayed him.
Yeah, he just felt betrayed. He felt like he couldn't trust the mortals anymore. But
if I could not trust my best friend, what can I trust?
Yeah,
that was
his fall. They have been, all the aspects for that matter, have been around since like they were proto-drakes. So they have lived a very long time on Azeroth.
They have, and three of them are gone. This is a big deal. We have killed Ysera.
We have Alexstrasza and Nosdormu left, and we know that eventually Nosdormu dies as well, because we saw his death. We saw his change into the Twilight, But to go back to the cinematic briefly, we kind of see a loon for the first time, really. I mean,
she kind of took a direct hand in that. She seemed to almost embrace and take Ysera and kind of ease her passing.
Yep.
That's how I interpreted it, at least, that, Ysera, she didn't deserve this ending at all. She was corrupted involuntarily and very suddenly. One moment she was your ally, the next minute she was not
at
all.
It was sad.
It was really sad.
And coming from the perspective of a Night Elf player, Ysera has always had that distinct, unique connection with the Kaldurai, especially the druids. So
speaking of, how are the druids going to handle this?
Yeah, because she was the
Tauren
dreamer
and the Night Elves.
I mean, I could only basically sum up about what most druids and everything are feeling, or this world is coming to the end. If the dreamer herself is now dead, what can happen? Cenarius is gone.
That's true. Who's watching the dream then? The handful of green dragons that are still left?
I imagine so. I mean,
if anything, we have more druids now. I only thought of the Tauren and the Night Elves, but there are the trolls in the Gunnan Worgen as well. But
yes,
the trolls in the Worgen are not as connected to the dream.
No, not at all. I mean, the only thing I can imagine, if the dream is still being looked over, I'd imagine most of it might be corrupted by the nightmare still. Which is sad.
Something to note about the nightmare. Once you're corrupted by it, it can't be reversed. This was noted in Vel'Shirah.
I mean,
by current means.
Yeah. I mean, it looks like the only way to really take care of the corruption is death at this point, which, will be evident when we kind of go further into the Emerald Nightmare raid. So,
yes,
more to be discussed on that. For our main topic, let's jump right back into that. I can't talk today, dude. Why are we even doing this?
Why am I even here?
Why am I here, honestly? Come on.
Yeah, just tying up the cinematic. So play them, watch them. They're great. Really, really fantastic. They make you feel things. They really do.
But Jaina,
speaking of feeling things.
Yeah, Jaina, to jump right into where we left off, we're at her current state of mind. A lot happened for Mista Pandaria, in which case we kind of found out, what if happened, if she had done that. She felt nothing but anger and terrible things towards Garrosh. And, she didn't have too much of an appearance come Warlords, I felt. Not until the end. Well, no, not even. She didn't even have an appearance in Warlords. I'm thinking of the end of Mist and Pandaria.
Yeah, she really didn't have much of a presence in Warlords of Draenor at all.
Not that anyone did.
Well, yeah, there were a lot of characters that didn't quite have an appearance.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
And, well, Warlords was a great expansion, I think, when it kicked off, but then it kind of lasted for a long time and didn't have much to carry itself on. So yeah. A lot of characters in their storylines, Jaina's included, seemed to kind of pause for a second, and now we're picking back up where she left off.
Yeah, and I mean, what we see of Jaina in Legion has been very brief so far, because the last time we saw her in Dalaran, she was clearing out the Blood Elves. So now, going back into Dalaran with Khadgar, Khadgar's proposing this idea of bringing back the Horde mages back to Dalaran, and he actually wins the vote. I think it was 4-2, or like 5-2, something like that.
I thought it was a little closer. I actually thought, no, wait. Yeah, somebody votes with her.
Yeah.
Nay. So there are two nay votes, and everyone else is yay.
Yeah. So, I mean, and then she's just like, well, you know what? I'm out. I don't need this. And she kind of just pieces.
She does. She kind of has that moment where you will see how I see it.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, again, just as we touched upon in the previous podcast, she wants her revenge on the Horde, but she also wants to be right. She seems to be wanting to say, I told you so.
Yeah.
I've been saying this whole time.
Well, one of
now
the
she's
things.
Gone. We don't know where she went.
Yeah. One of the things I was terribly surprised was not seeing more of her reaction on the Broken Shore. And that might have been just because of time restraints and editing and, you know, rigging of mechanics and everything like that. But I was kind of hoping to at least catch some reaction of her on the what actually happened with Varian, honestly. I was expecting to see more of her reaction than Ghen when the cinematic was first released.
Agreed. I mean, Ghen and Varian are obviously close, and we saw Ghen's reaction with the cinematic we just talked about. But you're right, Jaina not only lost Varian, whom she was close to, and also very close to his son, she also lost Tyrion. They worked together a lot in Wrath.
Yeah.
So that's no small thing either.
So, I mean,
two more people whom she knows died, although Tyrion definitely died at the hands of the Legion. So
yeah,
Varian.
Which is very sad to see, honestly. Yeah.
She's just capable of blaming the Horde a little bit more for Varian's demise versus Tyrion's demise, I think.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's really a lot going on with her. At least I hope to see more in the future rather than everything kind of just left as it is. Because if it's just left as it is, I'm going to be very disappointed. I'm not going to lie. I need to see something come from Jaina.
Exactly. They're building up to something. And the phrase I like to use is she's been spinning her wheels for a while. She's been spinning them since Theramore happened.
Mm-hmm.
She went to Orgrimmar and she was ready to flood it. And it was happening too.
Oh, yeah.
She was ready. And if there's anybody who could flood Orgrimmar and take it out, it would be Jaina. And Kalikos and Thrall stopped her.
Yeah. Actually, now that I think about it, I mean, next patch, 7.1, is returned to Karazhan. We might actually see her for that. Now that I think about it, just the mage-based item?
Yeah.
I think that's possible.
We just don't know where she's gone. And I'm just thinking to myself, if we had, again, got his revenge on the Horde relatively quick for what happened to Varian, but I think they have something bigger in store for Jaina. There's one thing I wanted to mention on the other podcast, but we were too close to time.
Oh, yeah. 50 minutes in?
The other recent event. What?
50 minutes in?
I know, right? The other thing, so yes, there was the Council of Six confrontation with Khadgar. She has left Dalaran. By the way, Kalikos seems to be taking up her spot.
Yeah, talk about a good boyfriend, right?
As far as we know, we think they're still together. They did have a fight in a previous book, but they kind of seem to make up. But it's still kind of nebulous.
I mean, that's what happens with couples, you know. You have fights, you get back together, you know, all that fun stuff. I mean,
the main
Jaina's
point
fine.
Of contention for Kalikos is her obsession with the Horde. So
oh, yeah.
Him showing up at the council either means he's like trying to be a peacemaker or he's straight up saying, Jaina, we're just going to take a break for a while because I know I got to do this because this is the right thing to do. We don't know. We have no idea.
I'm honestly surprised we didn't see more of Kalikos in Asuna with, you know, the Blue Dragons.
I know. He seemed completely removed from Senegos, but we could talk about
that another time.
That another thing. I guess so. Here's Jaina. So Varian dies.
Mm-hmm.
And we are taken to the throne room of Stormwind. And I'm just, Gen is so grieved. He just gives you the letter that Varian put in his hand before he died and tells you, your character, to deliver it. He doesn't want to deliver bad news. Yeah. So you do this and you see Anduin sitting on the throne. And as I walked in, I saw Jaina standing next to him, and I thought, oh, good, good. Because in previous media that you'd read with Jaina and Anduin together, she very much was the aunt. She was the one who, when he was insecure about being the prince or being the prince that he thought his father wanted or relating to his father, Jaina was the one that really helped knit them together.
Yeah, and not to mention, you know, she was on his side whenever Varian wanted to, like, go to war and destroy the Horde. She didn't feel that well. And then Varian and Jaina did a 180. You know, Jaina, you know, started feeling more remorseless with the events of Theramore. And I think, you know, Varian was on the same boat for a while. You know, he was like, you know, screw the Horde. We need to fight. We need to kill them. They don't deserve to live. And then the events and finale of Mist and Pandaria happened. And then we kind of saw this more, I wouldn't say relaxed, but more down-to-earth Varian.
He was more willing to listen to his son. And it was Jaina that promoted this. But I thought, seeing Jaina standing there, I was like, okay, good. She's going to give him words of comfort. You know, I'm sorry about your father. And when he was a great king and even a greater father. But no, her first line was about getting at the Horde.
Yeah.
And it was not received well. Even Anduin is no warmonger.
No, not at all.
Yeah, he's the absolute opposite. A man of peace, he's called himself. And two, even he knows that was strategically not sound. And I actually viewed it as a really bizarre mistake. And I'm not even really looking at Jaina for this. I'm looking at the writers. Jaina's very, very intelligent. I didn't think it would be wise for her to tell a grieving Anduin, whom she's known since he was little, that at the moment of his father's death, even she would know that he wouldn't go with something like that. She would have to kind of bring him to that point, you know, just kind of be more subtle about it. Like be the vizier whispering in his ear or something.
I mean, it's definitely possible that she might not even still be in the right set of mind.
Yeah, maybe she just didn't care to take the time.
That, and I mean, with what happened in Theramore, you know, that's a lot of trauma with what happened with her. She could be struggling with not only, you know, PTSD, but maybe some kind of arcane feedback or something like that. I mean, her hair did turn white.
It's true. I mean, who knows what her mindset is right now? Maybe she thought that the trauma that Anduin just went through would be equal enough to what she went through, so he would reach that same conclusion. Yeah. But he wasn't quite at that part yet. He really didn't join her in her enthusiasm to go get the Horde. And Valen seems to now kind of almost be his most trusted advisor, because they were on the same page.
I mean, with what happens in the comics, it's definitely apparent that Anduin and Valen are going to have more of a closer connection of between the light and everything.
Yeah, we actually reviewed this comic, Son of a Wolf, on lorecast.org. Go check it out. And yes, it technically has some, do we call them spoilers?
I would say kind of like a, maybe, I wouldn't even call it spoiler. It's foreshadowing, I'd say. But it definitely kind of gives you an idea where Anduin is going to be almost maybe between 40 and 60 years from now.
Yes. I mean, a lot can happen in between, but according to this comic, we actually know 40 to 60 years from now
what
became of Anduin and Valen. Valen's super old, though, so as long as he doesn't die, he'll just last forever.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and it's evident, you know, he kind of lives to that point, too, which is awesome.
Yeah, major spoiler, by the way, guys.
No, yeah, guys, spoilers.
I guess with Jaina, now we don't know what she's going to do. She's kind of burned a bridge with Anduin, of all people. The last person whom I think she really has a bridge with. She burned bridges with Khadgar and the Council of Six. Caligos is her last remaining relationship that we think she has, because she also told Thrall to go take a hike.
Yeah.
But we don't know her current relationship with him right now. They could have made up at the end of that book. It was implied. But we didn't directly see it, and we haven't seen anything since.
Yeah. I mean, It's definitely going to be interesting to see what comes from Jaina in the future. I'm really excited for it. Like I said, I honestly, regardless of what happens to her character, I think it'll be well written. Aside from,
I hope it is. I really hope it is. I mean, get so nervous about stuff like that.
So far with Legion in general, the writing has been so on point. I'm maybe like 95%, you know, trusting Blizzard.
Yeah, my hope, my cautious optimism is this. In two other expansions, she was kind of forced to spin her wheels and kind of be in this state. Yeah. Because they couldn't quite let her have the payoff just yet. I think the payoff is coming.
Well, I think they're going to be leading up something good. And no, Jaina's not a Dreadlord. We could definitely go over that for the 5 seconds that it takes to cover that.
Watch, we talked about that last podcast too. But watch, she's like some kind of secret Dreadlord. And we have to like eat our shorts the next podcast because she's she shows up in 7.1. Like,
I'll get the sriracha.
No, I really think this is Jaina, and this is how she is now. And she is going to do something. She could be bringing Kul Tiras to the fold. She could be, I don't know, what kind of army could she bring? Kul Tiras, she's technically the heir.
That's the only thing I can think of is Kul Tiras.
We don't know what state honestly they're really in.
I mean, I'm hoping Kul Tiras. That would be awesome, bringing Kul Tiras and even maybe Zandalar. Those would be two cool islands to include for Legion. So.
It would. And could you imagine just showing up and basically flanking the Horde at a very crucial moment?
I'm calling it right now. Hopefully Blizzard adds two new islands, Zandalar and Kul Tiras.
I just want to see Kul Tiras.
I mean, to make it, you know, Alliance Horde equal.
True. Okay. Yeah. That is very true.
Yeah.
We can give you Kul Tiras to ransack.
Yeah. I'd rather just have it as a hub, like an Alliance hub. Because that would be cool.
So I guess, Jaina, we'll find out. And I'm glad that we finally get to see some kind of outcome for this plot because it's been taking years. And I think that's why there has been some frustration with her and how angry she is. For lack of better words, it's almost this, why haven't you gotten over yet kind of expectation.
Yeah.
And I think the answer is because she's not had a chance to really get her pound of flesh just yet.
She was
prevented from doing so.
I also feel like she hasn't had a really moment to breathe. Like,
she's just been
overwhelmed on and on again. It's so much going on.
And things keep happening that are either actually bad things that the Hordes do, but also things that are assumed to be bad. Basically, it's confirmation bias that's happening as well.
Yeah.
But she does have a beef with the Horde. I wish she had been the one to kill Garrosh. She definitely earned it, honestly. Yeah, she earned that right.
That would have been great, honestly. I feel like that would have been, honestly, best considering what happened to Theramore, but that's pretty much it.
I mean, Thrall, it did make sense because Thrall's the one who put him there.
Yeah.
I wish Jaina got some kind of hit at him.
I wish Jaina was more involved with the siege or Orgrimmar. I mean, it makes sense that Thrall was the one to go to Draenor to finish him off, but I wish we saw kind of more out of Jaina for Siege of Orgrimmar.
That's a good point. Vol'jin led the rebellion that helped you take the city, and Tyrande was involved in Varian. Yeah. Jaina was there. She was there in the opening encounter, but what if she had been, you know, what if she flooded half the city for you and it took off half the mobs and things?
Yeah, like that's true. I mean, she was there briefly, but for one boss.
Exactly. You think that for the opportunity to take out Orgrimmar like she almost did by herself, she would have really been hands-on.
Yeah. So, I mean,
she could have just flooded the below caverns for us, and then we never would have needed to go in there in the first place. Oh my gosh, she could have saved us 12 months, Jaina.
Or not Wailing Caverns, whatever.
Wailing Caverns.
whatever is underneath Orgrimmar. You know what I'm talking about. The one you were just talking about.
Yeah. You mean the Siege of Orgrimmar?
Yeah. When you go into the dungeons.
They carved out the of Orgrimmar. By the way, what's going to come of those places?
I don't know. I mean, we could ask people who are Hordeside, hey guys, what happened to that point underneath Orgrimmar where all the bad stuff happened?
Yeah, exactly.
So...
we know how to get down there, but...
I'm an Alliance scrub. I don't know what happened.
He's a Nelf.
I thought you said something else for a second. I was like, what?
No, you're an elf. You're a night elf. I thought I was being inappropriate.
Oh, I love this podcast.
So I guess we'll find out maybe in a few weeks, whenever 7.1 comes out, we'll have more to say about Jaina because we'll see more of what she's doing. But for now, she is MIA.
Yeah, we need to see what just happens, and we got plenty of content until then. That's the awesome part. If you hit 110, you still have so much to do.
Like, you do, crap, so enjoy it.
Yes, like Suramar and World Quest, and not to mention the instances that you unlock at 110. Go do Maw of Souls. That is the best.
And the one thing also is, what I've noticed with Legion, it seems to be, maybe other than Vanilla and Kata, I know Cataclysm got a bit of a bad rap, but I think with Legion, it is the largest lore dump that we've had.
Since Wrath.
Since Kata. No, I say Kata. Well, the reason why I say Kata is they completely redid the world.
Yeah, that's true. And we got pretty awesome places, too.
Exactly. So that's why I say Kata, since it came after Wrath and everything had to be redone, and they updated all the zones. So
let me put it this way, then. We've gotten as much stuff since Kata, but I gotta say my hype level is on par with Wrath.
I definitely get that. This actually leveling through Legion, it feels at moments you see characters from the Burning Crusade pop up. You get quests that feel a lot like Wrath. You do a lot of stuff with the Vykrul.
You know what's funny?
It is a lot of fun. I mean, I definitely felt those moments of nostalgia kind of creep into my mind while I was leveling.
Yeah. You know what's funny? Before, actually, Legion was first announced, there was this theory that went along with the color themes of each expansion and how well they would do. So you had BC, which was green, did decent. Wrath was blue, did the best. Then you had Cataclysm, which was orange, did okay. Mists of Pandaria, green, decent.
Like a jade green.
Yeah, but still green. Still green. Then you had, orange for Warlords, and that flopped. So everyone was like, oh, it's going to be a blue-themed expansion. Nope, green, and it's doing fantastic. Screw the color codes.
I didn't know this color code thing was a thing.
Yeah, it was a huge theory on Reddit. I'm not going to lie. It was a huge thing.
I absolutely believe it. I'm going to have to check it out now. So I guess then we'll need a blue-themed Argus expansion. Well, that'd be more purple.
The Argus could definitely be blue, but also keep in mind, I mean, we aren't exactly facing Ashara one-on-one this expansion. We're facing the Naga, but we're not going to see her.
And this is important because Blizzard has said in... Oh, I just bumped my elbow.
Bumped your elbow. Heal her down.
I got a boob. No, I'm kidding. Blizzard has said in BlizzCon that they actually, when it comes to Ashara, they want to give her own expansion.
Oh, yeah. And honestly, I think that's going to be best because if you think about it, we are getting a little bit of old god taste this expansion with Ashara and the Nightmare and everything. Although the Nightmare, with Xavius, he's more so working for the Legion right now, I feel. But, I mean, he, as a character, the Satyr, that's corruption. That's old god corruption. Even though he is technically a demon by Satyr rule, I mean, it's, what was I going to say? I almost ran off the trail for a second. I went off the rail with my train of thought.
It's okay. I lost my train of thought. You're a hunter. You can find your way back.
Oh, I'm sad. Everything's ruined now.
Well, the Satyrs were corrupted by the Legion. I mean, they came about because of the Legion.
Yeah.
Xavier, I think. Xavius was the first one.
Yeah. So, that's what I was going through.
Yeah, I'll take this power.
So, Xavius has kind of bounced around in terms of his loyalty to the old gods and the Emerald Nightmare and then to the Burning Legion. So, it's hard to say where exactly his alliance and his loyalty stays, but it's not good anyway. But,
exactly, I mean, but Ashara, she definitely should have her own expansion.
And old god.
In that, all the other things that she'll bring on the table.
She will absolutely bring old god-based stuff around her, because Nyaloth.
Exactly.
Yes, I'm hyped.
Who knows what else she's been meddling in? We don't know what she's really been up to. We've gotten little hints when the Naga have appeared. But not much more than that.
No. The only thing I can think of is that she realizes that the Burning Legion is damned, or is damning this world, so she might be trying to take the Pillars of Creation for herself to save it, but also at the same time dominate it.
Makes sense. I mean, she certainly wouldn't want the world to go out from underneath her.
It's the same with the old gods. The old gods don't want the Burning Legion to win, because that'll mean Azeroth will die, and so will their corruption. So it's kind of the...
No,
whole,
go ahead.
You're trapped. You have a rock in a hard place.
I just completed a quest that actually revealed a very big thing.
Oh, yeah.
Should I
know
say
the
it?
Quest. Save it for the... I just hit my microphone.
Save it for the next one.
Yeah.
I'll save it for next month. I just completed a quest today about the Titans. It's actually a humongous revelation. Now, again, it could be incorrect. We'll have to see. It was one of those quests where, wow, this is a lot of information. Need to absorb this. We'll pick this back up next time. And that's exactly how that quest actually left off.
Yep. I'm on the next part of that quest.
So. Oh, yeah. So we'll see what happens.
Yes.
I think that pretty much cinches it up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's not too much more to go right into. We went into a lot. We finished the Jaina stuff. We talked a little about, you know, Greymane and Val'Shara. I mean, the next few episodes that we're probably going to be doing for Flashcast is probably going to be covering the zones and going into more detail about maybe order halls and specific characters. The next full episode that we hope to have, maybe by the end of September, is going to include this very awesome artist that I think we talked about before, but his name is Session Zero, and he did some fantastic art for us.
Yep, so we'll be having him on, and he actually does Twitch streams and other things with his art, which are super fun to watch. In fact, we actually watched him make a Death Knight yesterday.
He drew a
Death
Knight.
So we'll probably promote that as well.
And the theme of Frozen.
Oh my gosh, I did not listen to the theme.
No,
I was leveling at the time.
She was sitting on a throne of frost, and her hair was Elsa style and everything like that.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, hey, I've seen it before. By the way, time for our lore challenge.
Our lore challenge. I love lore challenges. I always win these.
Oh, I know you.
Yeah.
Anyways, he's not allowed to answer them. So our previous one was also on Jaina, and we kind of made it a little more lighthearted because we talked about her background in the previous Flashcast, and we just kind of wanted to end it on a slightly lighter note.
And who is the winner of that?
Xylik was the winner of that
Yay!
One. Although it actually also was Tesmond. It was kind of a tie.
Oh, was it a two-part question?
It was technically a two-part question. It was asking, what's her favorite snack? It's a seriously lighthearted question. And Tesmond guessed one of them.
Okay.
Xylik got the other two.
Cool. Congrats
so I just
to both
thought,
you
well,
guys.
You know, I'll give it to them both.
What a nice person you are.
Oh, there you go. Now, this one is not necessarily difficult, but actually you could add quite a bit to this answer. I just want to throw this out there because this is the kind of stuff that's probably going to get fleshed out.
Yes.
With Jaina right now and what's happening. So, Flashcast 8 Lore Challenge. How many siblings does Jaina Proudmoore have?
Probably like 8.
How many siblings does Jaina Proudmoore have? And there are probably a couple people thinking right now, like, ah, I see what she's trying to do. It's a little bit of a trick question. So, no, this is a good conversation.
Conversation.
To have about Jaina and her background and also where her background was written.
Yes.
And what sources. So there you go. Have fun. You get to answer that at lorecast.org on the Flashcast number 8 page. Just come on, visit us and put it in there. Good luck. And I think that really just ties it up for today.
What other ways can the listeners of Lorecast reach out to us on?
Alrighty. I can give it. Want it? Ready?
Yeah, do it.
Okay. Well, one, you can definitely answer these lore challenges. And if you answer 5 of them, you can be either a guest on the podcast. It depends on your quality of your microphone, or if you want to, because I know it's like, it might be a little intimidating. You could also record a bumper for us. And let's see, we also might get you a battle.net shop pet.
To yes.
Really choose one of those 3 options.
Yes. So for the people that actually get the battle.net shop pets, I can talk, I promise. We might actually do more competitions and contests for that, like writing prompts and like questions about your character, because we love reading. We love hearing about people's stories of their character, whether you're Earthenring original, you're from Wormrest, Moonguard, doesn't matter where you're from. We want to hear your stories.
Yeah, we talk a lot about lore here, but ultimately, Kanta and I are role players. We would love to talk more about role play on the podcast, but lore is a humongous part of role play to understand what's going on and the characters that are characters.
Yeah.
We're surrounded by.
Oh, yeah. So we got that going on. And we, you know.
Other places?
What? What?
Oh, no, we're on Twitter. And
oh, yeah, we
and
are. Tumblr. Tweet us. The Twitter sphere.
At ERLorecast. It's actually the best way to get a hold of us. Like us on Facebook. Go check us out on Tumblr. On Tumblr, we're posting little writing prompts. I would actually really love to read some flash fiction written by role players.
And we're also on iTunes. If you're not listening to us on iTunes and listening to us directly on the website, check us out on iTunes and give us a, you know, 5-star review. Do it right now.
I wasn't even subtle.
No, I wasn't going for subtlety. I just want 5 stars.
Oh, Kanta wants his stars.
Mm-hmm. That I do.
Guys, give Kanta his stars. Yes. Also, don't forget to actually kill the stars in the game when you see them on your mini map.
Oh, yeah. Good stuff out of those.
Like, I think that's it.
Like,
we have any other closing fun words? This is some really, I feel so inspired.
I mean,
I'm going to go to Suramar now and grind my reputation to friendly.
I got a fun little reminder. If you're doing your Ordo Hall quest and have unlocked one of your champions, you could use that champion to follow you around the Broken Shore or in the Broken Isles and have him hit him or her. They could be champions too. Hit stuff for you.
You can. Yeah, you can have a bodyguard.
I have Rexxar.
Vindicator Burrows following me. He's pretty cool. Lady Leandrin. You're contagious, Kanta. Now I'm stumbling over my words. Lady Leandrin.
That's our closing of podcast.
Like a stampede of Blood Elf Knights. It's actually really awesome.
Yeah.
I very much appreciate that mechanic, actually.
Yes. So go on and make sure you use your champion for your order hall to help you hit stuff. Other than that, we don't really have that much more today at all.
Next
we're kind of done.
We're done.
Yeah. Good night.
Well, or good morning.
Or good afternoon.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you guys so much. This is the Lorecast. We appreciate your listenership thing, you know, the thing you do with your ears.
Are you listening with your feet?
What? Feet? What about feet?
I was letting you close it out, but when you're like listening with your ears,
I guess. I don't know.
Thank you for listening with your feet, everyone. This is the Lorecast.
Thank you for listening with your
Kanta
feet. Your feet cast. This is the feet cast. Kanta and Ari. We're out. Peace out, Girl Scout.
Take care.